I want to start today with a celebration. As I mentioned last week, Aaron Racine and I spent Monday and Tuesday interviewing candidates for ministry. And although we could not interview those persons who come from this church, two folks who serve at this church were approved. First, Stacy David Heiser Gonzalez was approved for commissioning as a provisional elder, and Stacy's right out here. Yay, Stacy. And Chris Allen, who helped me with the baptism, was approved as a permanent elder. And so those will take place at this coming annual conference of the Tennessee Annual Conference. And we could not be prouder of these folks, and we could not be more blessed to have both of you serve among us. So congratulations. I waited to do that until this point in the service because you may have noticed that the announcements, not everybody's here. Last week when we left St. Paul, he was in quite a terrible situation. We were reading from the book of Romans, and he described it this way: the very thing that I want to do, I don't do. And the very thing I hate to do and don't want to do is the thing I do. And he ended up with this cry for help, this plea. Oh, wretched man that I am, he says. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Pretty strong language. And then he gives us a clue as to where his hope lies. He offers praise to God through Jesus Christ for the mercy that is shown him, even though he does those things he would rather not do. And he doesn't do those things he knows that he should do. Now, I identify with that. Maybe you do too. I really identify with him. He's being very vulnerable about who he is. One of those few places in scriptures that we see Paul at his weakest, at his most vulnerable. And yet, we don't stay there. We're not left there. Because you see, we have examples of how we move beyond this human situation that we're caught in that leaves us feeling wretched a good part of the time. Perhaps the first example is Jesus. After all, Jesus is someone who showed us how to love folks who don't love us, who showed us how to move beyond to share God's love with even those who disappoint us. Remember, he had dinner with the man who betrayed him, the one who would deny knowing him, and all the rest who would desert him. He was on the cross asking for forgiveness for people who had driven spikes through his wrist and put him up there. That's a pretty strong example. That's a pretty amazing example of loving those who hate us. And that's yet the example that God gives us in Jesus. Now, you're going to say, yeah, but I'm no Jesus. Well, I'm not either. But you know what? I aspire to be like him. And my guess is you do too, or you would not be here this morning. When we baptize a child, we say that we are going to surround that child with love and prayer so that they can grow up to be a disciple of Jesus Christ all of their days. That's a big promise. But we have made that promise this morning, and we're called to fulfill that promise, which means we aspire to be like Jesus. Well, fortunately, Jesus is not the only example we have. He did it perfectly, but we have examples like Patrick. In the story I told the children, Patrick was taken as a slave, was enslaved for 6 years, escaped, and if I had been him and had escaped, I would never, ever return to slavery, or even the possibility of it, and probably wouldn't have any fond feelings toward the people who had enslaved me. He came back to England, apparently studied theology on the continent. He could have made a career there in Britain. He could have risen to serve the equivalent of West End United Methodist Church. But then he had a dream. And in that dream, one of those figures among the people who had enslaved him came to him and asked him to come back to them. Come and walk among us again, holy servant boy. Well, by this time, he was no longer a boy. But he had learned what it meant to be a servant, not a slave. You see, he confesses in his little booklet, the earliest piece of Irish writing we have, called the Confessions, that he hated to go to church when he was a kid. His father was a deacon. His family was Christian. They dragged him to church, and he just didn't like it very much. But it was in being taken as a slave on those long nights alone on the hillside, keeping the sheep of someone else, that he learned how to pray. Separated from his family, separated from his country, he was not separated from his God. And on those lonely hillsides, he would continue in prayer through the night, learning to pray that simply God would be with him. When he finally escaped, he became an educated Christian. Not only was he faithful to the church, not only did he find his religion in the context of his slavery, but he found a calling to the priesthood. Having studied for the priesthood, he then went back to the people who had enslaved him, not to condemn them, not to judge them, but to share the great mercy of God, the love of God, even for those who have done us harm. That word began to spread in circle, ever widening, until finally all of Ireland was Christian. He confronted kings, and it was a dangerous thing to confront Irish kings at that time, but he did it. He talked to ordinary people and got them to see that the love of God was stronger than anything else they had experienced, and that to be a servant of God meant that you didn't enslave people. The only other document that we know comes from Patrick is a letter to a general who had come over, a military officer who had come over to take slaves from Ireland, and he was begging that officer to set those slaves free. Patrick didn't drive the snakes out of Ireland. There were none to start with. There's a story of him sticking a walking stick in the ground and it blossoming. My friends, that likely never happened. But he did something much more remarkable. He went back to a people who had enslaved him and mistreated him and shared with them the love and the mercy of God, which is a much more powerful miracle in that time, in the 5th century, the 400s, and in our time as well. But you'll say to me, well, I'm no St. Patrick either. I'm no saint. Well, I'm not either. Fortunately, Jesus and people like St. Patrick aren't the only people who teach us how to move beyond our own brokenness to share the love of God with others. It's a musician named Daryl Davis. Daryl has played with Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis and a lot of the rock and roll and blues and boogie-woogie bands in his time. He grew up as a child of a Foreign Service officer, and so when he went to school, when he began school, he was in school with all the other children of all the other Foreign Service officers of all the other embassies in the cities where his parents were assigned. He said it was like going to school at the United Nations. People from all over the world were right there. And then when his father was assigned back in the United States, he wound up in a school where he was one of two African Americans in the entire school, the only one in his class. He didn't really think much about it. Some of his friends got interested in the scouts, and so he got interested and became a scout. And then the scouts were asked to march in a parade. They asked him to carry the flag right in the middle of the group of scouts. Well, he was very pleased and proud to do that. He was walking along with bands in front and bands behind. They were going down the street. He was carrying the flag proudly when all of a sudden something hit him. And he looked down. It was a bottle, a Coke bottle. He kept marching along, and from the other side, a rock came flying at him. Pretty soon, when they saw what was happening, his scout leaders came in and stood and walked around him to create a barrier. He thought to himself, why do people hate the scouts? Didn't make any sense to him. That evening, he talked to his parents about what had happened. They sat him down and gave him what they thought was a lesson in reality. They said, you know, it wasn't that these people hated the scouts. It's that they hated you because of the color of your skin. He said, I thought they were lying to me. That was the silliest thing I'd ever heard. How in the world could they hate me when they didn't even know me? He didn't believe them. But that question stayed with him. How could they hate me if they don't even know me? Well, he went to Howard University, graduated with a degree in music, had a successful career in music. And then one day he was watching a television show on which a Klan official was spewing all kinds of hatred toward African-American people and Jewish people and just about everybody else. And he thought, how can that guy hate me when he doesn't even know me? So he decided to go visit him. He went and visited with the Klan official and sat down and listened to him. He didn't judge him. He didn't condemn him. He listened to him. What he did do was share his own story and his own perspective, his own understanding of the history that they shared. He didn't convince the Klansman. Of course, the Klansman didn't convince him, but he asked if he could come back. And he did. Again and again and again. He even attended Klan rallies, as you can imagine, the only dark face among all those white masks. Finally, one day, that Klansman called him and said, I've changed through our conversations, and so I think I'm going to walk away from the Klan. Would you like to have my hood and my outfit? He said, sure. So he gave him his Klan regalia to keep because the man didn't want it anymore. He left that behind by simply being heard. Well, Daryl didn't stop there. When he would see other Klansmen spewing hatred on television, he would go see them and sit down and talk with them and befriend them. In the interview, he was asked, well, how many of these robes do you have? He said, oh, I don't know, 25? Of folks who had hated him, though they didn't even know him, who got to know him and discovered they could no longer hate him or anyone else just because of the color of their skin. When we have received the inestimable mercy of God, then we are empowered to share that mercy. When we were dead in our sins was when God came to us, according to this reading. Not when we were good people, not when we had it all together. When we were dead in our sins, when we were doing the things we didn't want to do and not doing the things that we wanted to do, God came to us and showed us mercy. And it is a gift. It is nothing we earned. It is nothing we deserved. And when that happens, it empowers us to do the same for others. Now, you can tell me you're no Jesus. Okay, I'll buy that. I'm not either. You can tell me you're no St. Patrick, and I'll buy that. I'm not either. You can't tell me you're not a Darryl Davis. There is a documentary about him called Accidental Courtesy. You may want to watch the whole thing. It's a remarkable story of a man who decided that it was absolutely against everything he had been taught and everything he believed in for someone to hate him who didn't know him. And the solution to that was to get to know them. You know, we say that our job is to create disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. If every disciple of Jesus Christ did that, I'll guarantee you the world would be transformed. It would be a different place. Because we have received mercy, we are empowered to show mercy. Thanks be to God.